If you turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30. And so the Israelites have just come through on dry land. And so we read, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Carrying on through into chapter 15. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, they sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." And if a couple of verses from Galatians and chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, even now that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would reveal afresh and in a greater and deeper way the Lord Jesus, and all that he has done for us, all that we might have a sight of him, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on being crucified to the world and the world being crucified to us, and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us when he went to the cross. Because so often we just think of what Christ did for us upon the cross as just a work of delivering us from sin, of reconciling us to the Father, and of setting us free from that the consequences of sin so that we could escape hell. But I want us to look this morning of how, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was setting us free from the world, from the standards of the world, from the rules of the world, from being controlled by the world, to set us free from the world. And in Galatians 6, it says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And I wonder this morning, have we got a revelation of what Christ did when he went to the cross? Because when he went to the cross, and we who have trusted in him have been placed into Christ, the world was that where once we were controlled by the world and the things of the world and the values of the world, that was broken, and we're no longer under its control. We're no longer imprisoned by the world. We're no longer under its mastery. And not only that, but we have been crucified. It's no longer us that lives. That old man has been done away with. That old man that loved the world, that old man that cherished the world and the things of the world, has been crucified, has been put to death. And now a new creature has come. And in Exodus chapter 15, we see a wonderful picture of just what Christ has done for us. Because we see a wondrous deliverance. We can see Egypt as that picture of the world, and of how the Israelites were brought through, and how the Lord destroyed that world and delivered them, and delivered the Israelites from that world. We look at death, and we think of what it means. We think of death as separation. We think in Scripture of how death is the breaking of power. And this is what was happening here for the children of Israel. They were being set free from all that world of Egypt. They were being separated from it. They were being brought into victory. They were being released from all that bound them. And I wonder this morning, are we living in the reality of that? Do we see it? Do we see that we were under that world, under the power of that world? And maybe it's hard to understand this. Maybe it's hard to see how I wonder if now we see ourselves free from that power, or are we still living under that power of the world? Let me ask you. You see, we have scriptures like this that say, "Take no thought of the morrow. Take no thought of what you'll eat and what you'll drink." And I wonder if we really, if that's real to us. I wonder if we're really living in the experience of that. Let me ask you. You see, the world has standards. The world has rules by which it lives by. You see, people are constantly thinking about, well, what will I do in the future? How will I look after myself? People are constantly, they're constantly thinking about pensions and insurance and these things to make everything okay, constantly thinking about how everything will be, making sure their life for the future will be all right. And the Lord, he says that I've crucified the world to you. I've broken all that. I've destroyed all that. I've destroyed all those values, all those standards, the world. I've destroyed all that. Because now you're living a new life. And I wonder if you see that. I wonder if you are living in the experience of living that new life, where now you're trusting Jesus. Where he now is the one who you're trusting. Whereas before you're trusting your own strength, you're trusting in your own power to keep yourself and to look after yourself. And now are you now trusting in Jesus? Because you've said the world has been crucified unto me. Have you seen what Christ did at the cross? He was crucifying that world unto you. You see, we become so concerned and worried about money and financial things. I believe that that's one of the reasons why the church doesn't give, and why so often we don't tithe. It's because we're worried, we're concerned. So often we're concerned about our future, and so we think, I've got to keep this money to myself because I need to look after myself. And we're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not depending upon him. We're not believing that he will look after us. You see, he crucified the world, all its standards, all its rules. And now we've been made right with him and reconciled to him. I think of how quickly we are to run to the doctors. And before we turn to this scripture, we heard that reading of the woman with the issue of blood, and how often we run to the doctors before we run to the Lord. And you see, this is what the world will do. The world will say, well, we need to run to the doctors. We need to trust in the doctors for our health, for our healing. But you see, the Lord's done something so wonderful through the cross. You see, he's crucified the world unto us so that we're not under the world's standards anymore. We're not under the world's values. We're not under the world's power. We're not living by that life anymore. We're living a life that is to be trusting in Christ day by day and moment by moment. And so often I think we fail to see just what Christ did upon the cross, so that we're no longer under the rules of the world. I wonder as well, we look at the world and we see how so often the world will rise up in pride, and we look at the world and we say, people become so proud. And yet I wonder if pride is something that is so easily found in us. How easily we find ourselves desiring praise, looking for praise, and when praise doesn't come, we're crestfallen. When we're critical, we're unhappy because we haven't received praise. There's a pride in us where when we do things well, there's that pride that flows within us. And the Lord, when he went to the cross, his work was to separate us from all of that, all of those values of the world, all of those standards of the world, the way the world does things, the way the world operates it, to separate us from all of that, to cut us off from that. We know that the Lord came to deliver us from sin. We know that he came to wash us free from sin. We know that he came to break the power of sin. But have we seen him coming to break the power of the world? Have we seen him do that? Have we seen him coming so that the world would be crucified to us? If we look at this passage in Exodus chapter 15, it says, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider, as he thrown into the sea." Then going down, verse 3, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." And verse 4, "Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone." You see, if we see Pharaoh in a way as a picture of Satan, he takes the world which he's the prince of, and he takes that world, and he uses that world to trap people, and to bind them up, and to destroy them, and to overwhelm them. And he's used the world to destroy people, to bind them up. And then we see this great deliverance for the people of God, where the Lord casts the world into the sea. You see, we see all the, if you think of the world, of all its values, all its standards, all its rules, all of it, being cast into the sea, into the bottom of the sea, where it cannot rise again. Then you get a picture of the power of the world and how it's been broken at the cross. It's been broken at the cross, so that you're no longer bound by the world and by its power. You say, how can I be free from the world? How can I be free from those standards that seem to so control me? Then it's seeing what Christ did at the cross, because there he wrought a wondrous deliverance. Because at the cross, he crucified the world to you. That's what he was doing. And he showed his glorious power. "And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea." And in verse 9, "The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them." And in verse 9, that's an incredible picture of what the world will do to a person. It will pursue it, it will overtake it, It will divide the spoil, and it will be satisfied upon it, and it will ultimately kill it. And this is what the world does. We see how the unbeliever is being destroyed by the world, by the standards of the world, by the values of the world. But are we living in the reality and the fullness of being of that deliverance that Christ has wrought at the cross? Are we living in the fullness of it, that we've been set free from the world? I wonder if we're really living in the fullness of it, in the reality of it. Can we really say that I'm free from the world, from that bondage, from that imprisonment, to see it? And this isn't about sin. This is about the standards of the world. It's about trusting the Lord and depending upon the Lord and seeing him as our everything and seeing him as our strength and seeing him as all we need and not looking anywhere else, because when our attachment is not to Christ, it immediately looks to the world to the answers. But I wonder, how is it that we can so easily find ourselves caught up in the world, entangled in the world, the things of the world, the values of the world, the standards of the world? How is it that we so easily become entangled. And why is it that we cannot get that victory? Why is it that we cannot get that deliverance? And I believe that, first of all, it's because we lack that revelation of all that Christ did. I believe with all my heart that what it says in Galatians 6, we need a real revelation of what Christ did at the cross. While we limit what Christ did at the cross to him delivering us from sin, we will never see that he also was delivering us from the world and all the standards of the world. And so what happens is, yes, we recognize sin in our lives, and as soon as we sin, we confess it. But we don't see how we're becoming entangled in the world, how we're still living by the standards of the world. We're still living as if we're in Egypt. We're still living as if the Lord hasn't cast down the enemy under the sea. We're still living just under the standards of the world. And if we're going to go out to a lost world and we're going to preach the gospel, and we're told to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, then we've got to come from a place where the world no longer controls us, where we're no longer bound by the world, where we've been set free from all that the world, how the world would control us. You see, if we're going to go out into the world and preach, we've got to go having been set free from the world that binds us. And I wonder, are we living in that reality? Are we living in that freedom? Are we living in that place where we've been set free from that, from the world? And so, first of all, we need a revelation of what Christ has done at the cross. He died to set us free, to break to destroy the world, so that the world has been crucified to us. But he also did something else. He says that we've been crucified to the world. And I wonder if we really see ourselves as dead. And it then goes on to talk about us as being as new creatures. I wonder if we really see ourselves, that old man, as being dead, as being put away with, no more to rise. I wonder if we really see ourselves as new creatures. I wonder if we really see what Christ has really done in putting away that old man, and now having formed a new creature, a new man. I wonder if we really see that. But then if we look at verse 2, in the midst of this song, we get this: the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is my strength, and he has become my salvation. And you see, so often we see salvation as purely being saved from sin. But you see, we've also been saved from the world. We've been saved from the world, delivered from the world. And it says, the Lord is my strength. So how can I overcome? How can I overcome the world? Well, we remember that Jesus overcame the world. Now, if I've been placed into Christ, then therefore I also overcome the world. Because he is my strength. It's his life, his power, his very being in me, flowing through me, so that I stand firm, so that I overcome the world. So it no longer has a hold on me. I wonder, have we seen that? The Lord is my strength. And to see him as our strength. And it says, and I will prepare him a habitation. You see, it's as we yield ourselves to the Lord. We can either yield ourselves to the world, yield ourselves to the values of the world, be controlled by its standards and its values, or we can yield ourselves to the Lord. and say, He has become my salvation, He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. Because one desire is that He might come and dwell within us, individually, as a fellowship, that He would take control. And when we submit ourselves and totally yield ourselves to Him, and when He becomes our strength, then we will be living in the reality of being free from the world. You see, it's so easy to find ourselves imprisoned to the values of the world. But the Lord sets us free when we look to Him as our strength and as our trust. In verse 13 it says, Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. You see, the Lord's whole work is this, in His mercy, to deliver us and then bring us to that holy habitation, the place where He dwells. And you see, that place is a place of rest, it's a place of praise, it is a place of peace, where all struggles are put aside. And it's as we're taken into that place that we will find that full deliverance from the world. And it's His work to do, and all He asks of us is that we might yield ourselves to Him and trust Him and depend upon Him to do that work. In verse 17 it says, Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. See what an amazing thing that is, to be, because it's taking us in to dwell in the very presence of the Lord. Whereas once we were dwelling in the world, under the world's control, living by its standards, living by its values, and now being brought out of that place where we're under its control, and now being placed under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought into the fullness of His presence, fullness of His joy, fullness of His peace, where He is Lord, where He's guiding us, where He's directing us, where He's leading us, where we no longer have to worry about the future, no longer have to worry about what might happen, no longer running to the people of this world for answers and for help and for deliverance, but trusting in the Lord and seeking Him and looking unto Him. And if we're going to live in the reality of this, we've got to see what Christ has done. We need a fresh revelation of how Christ destroyed and crucified the world to us. We need to have a revelation that we have been brought through the Red Sea, that we have to see that we've been taken through, that there's been that death that has worked its way in our hearts. We need to see the reality of it. And then, having seen the reality of it, we need to see that Christ is our life. He is our everything. It's Him who is our strength. He is our shield. He is the very one whose life works in us and through us. You see how easy it is for us to become embroiled in the things of the world, become entangled in the things of the world. And we think these things, well, they're not sin. And yet we find ourselves immersed in them. It's a question that we can easily ask. If we have things that we would be so unhappy if they were taken from us, then they are things that we have set our heart upon, that we love. And are they things that we love more than the Lord Himself? We need to ask ourselves, are we still loving the world? Are we still under its power? Are we still under its control? Or are we living in the reality of what Christ has done for us in crucifying the world to us and us to the world. He has wrought an incredible deliverance. It says in Exodus 15 and verse 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" He has wrought a wonderful work and an awesome work at the cross. He delivered us, yes, from sin. He's broken the power of sin, but he has also made a way for us to be living in the reality of being free from the world and all its standards and all its values. And having been set free from the world, we can go back out into the world with a gospel to proclaim, a message to proclaim, that they too can be free from this world. Are we living under its power, or are we living in the light of what Christ has done, who was crucified for us, that we might be set free? Amen.